Hey there, welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. We are online all the time at npr.org/Bryant Park. We here at the BPP, it's a team effort. We're all about collaboration, cooperation, conviviality, community, other C words, good C words.
Good C words, not bad
not
C words.
Bad C words. No. And with that, we give you the most. Trisha McKinney.
From the control room.
Hello again
from the control room. So I have Google Trends. As I always do. And, of course, way up there, since it happened yesterday, since the word broke yesterday, Harvey Korman, one of my favorite comedians. He passed away. He was 81 years old. He'd been in the hospital for months. Apparently, he'd had some surgery and then a day later had some complications. He had an aortic aneurysm, and he'd been in the hospital for a long time. So, unfortunately, that's the really, really sad stuff. But, of course, it's given everybody an opportunity to celebrate this guy who was just a comic genius. He was a multiple Emmy winner. He made it into the big Comedian Hall of Fame, which is an elite group. And he's just... He was famous for being on the Carol Burnett Show.
Yeah, that's when I watched him.
I'm just a huge, huge fan of his. He also, of course, known for all of his appearances in Mel Brooks movies. I wanted to rush on the air. When I heard about this yesterday, I wanted to rush somewhere, a tribute to one of my favorite moments of all time, which was in High Anxiety, after Nurse Diesel warns those who are tardy, do not get fruit cup. And then he comes running down the stairs at dinner time, and he sits down at the table, flourishes his napkin, picks up his spoon. He's getting ready to eat, dips in the non-existent fruit cup, because, of course, he was late. And just the look of just sadness
despair
on his face.
Yeah.
It's so great. But because that's not good radio,
no,
and I just
not.
Ruined it.
Thanks, we're
going to play
that.
A little clip of him as Hedley Lamarr in Blazing Saddles.
Men, you are about to embark on a great crusade to stamp out runaway decency in the West. Now you will only be risking your lives, whilst I will be risking an almost certain Academy Award nomination for Best Supporting Actor.
So good. Such a great comic villain.
Count de Monet
was so great.
His voice was so great.
He was also the great Gazoo on the Flintstones, if you recall.
I did not know that.
Wonderful guy. Just amazing.
Well,
so sad.
We remember Harvey Korman on this day. Dan Pashman, what do you have to say for
I've
yourself
I've got a most
morning?
Emailed here from Yahoo News. Japanese scientists create microscopic noodle bowl.
What?
That's right. They carved a noodle bowl, or a ramen bowl.
Uh-huh.
Actually, with a diameter of 1/25,000th of an inch.
Why would they do that?
Well, they carved it. That's a great question, Rachel. They carved it out of microscopic nanotubes, and carbon nanotubes are being explored for a whole bunch of different positive things in society, especially electronics and medicine, because they're extremely strong, but can be carved into very small. So you can imagine a medical device that could be inserted into your body that would be very strong and durable, but would be very small and could go to places that other where other things made out of other substances would not be able to go.
But I guess my initial query stands. Why in the world would someone carve a minute ramen bowl? You want those things to be big.
Well, you need to put your minute noodles somewhere. I mean, microscopic college students need to eat too, Rachel, okay? And they're eating microscopic ramen. I don't know why you have to judge, but
that's just how I go.
It's an experiment for the love of learning.
Okay. Interesting. Matt Martinez?
All right. Speaking of Asian things in small places,
I
have one
nice.
Of the most emailed...
segue.
Thank you. Thank you very much. One of the most emailed and read at the BBC right now is headline, Japan woman lived in man's closet. Now, here's a story. Police found a 58-year-old woman, Satsuko Horikawa, living in a very small storage space in the house of a man in the southern city of Fukuoka. And she'd been living there for a year. She had a mattress, and he only recently noticed because food started disappearing from his fridge.
And then he installed cameras, right, to, like, catch her?
He installed cameras because he wasn't sure what was going on. So I was like, what's going on? Why is my food going away?
That would be if you saw some at night, some woman coming out of your
closet?
What
did she, like, do all day? I mean, was he at work and that's when she came?
She wasn't always there. She was there some of the time. And when he was gone, she would come out of the cupboard and walk around. And eat his food. My favorite—I have to tell you, my favorite part of this has
roommate ever
has nothing to do with this story. I was actually driving in this morning, and just to hear the polite BBC announcers, a woman was found living in a cupboard this morning. what? Is this the news? What's happening?
Brilliant.
Or maybe she's the greatest roommate ever because you don't ever see her.
Yeah, I know.
She does stay out of the way.
She stays out of the way.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, but she still finishes your pizza.
Anyway, she told the police she had nowhere to live. And
no, it's kind of sad. Now, what happened to her? Does it say what happened to her?
Well, she was. It doesn't say what happened to her. I think she was just told, "Don't sleep in
don't
that guy's
do that.
House.
Yeah,
choose
don't
other
do that.
Closets."
Yeah, the the story was scant on other details.
Okay, thanks, Matt Martinez.
You're welcome.
Okay, so I have a story from Brazil. This is one of the most emailed at CNN.com. This is a very cool story. Researchers have produced aerial photographs of these people who are members of a tribe that apparently is one of the few tribes left in the world that has had no contact with other people. And you can go to the website at CNN to see those photos. It's very, very cool. And now we shall go to Ian.
Good morning.
Hi.
I'd like to tell you guys I was out in the pit, and the drilling here in BPP World Headquarters has started again. From what I can tell, they're actually drilling up through the bottom of Matt Martinez's cubicle. So beware of that when you head back.
So that's
fantastic.
Good.
Martha Stewart's going to come popping out of the floor any minute.
I have a most viewed from NPR. This was heard yesterday on Morning Edition. It's from the Hidden Kitchen series. And this is about Basque sheep herders in the American West. They cook outdoors in Dutch ovens buried below the ground. The Kitchen Sisters, their independent producers, Davia Nelson and Nikki Silva, they put this together. They call it the Sheep Herder's Ball.
I'm John Esquaga, John Esquaga's Nugget Casino in Sparks, Nevada. We've been there 48 years. I'm a Basque, if you know what the Basque people are, from the Pyrenees. My dad was a sheep herder when he first came over, about 1900. There's a great number of Basque sheep herders in Idaho, Nevada, California, Montana, New Mexico. In fact, on the ranch where I live, I still have 75 sheep. I just want to keep my heritage going. We have a Basque restaurant at the Nugget, Orozco. That's my dad's hometown in the Basque country.
What about baking that great Basque bread?
Sure, Dutch oven.
Dutch oven. Yeah,
Dutch oven. If you didn't know how to make bread being a sheep herder, I don't think you'd survive. Our government had a program bringing a lot of the sheep herders over from the Basque country. They were in dire need of sheep herders because nobody wanted to herd sheep in America. That's a lonely job.
My name is Francisco Lasarte.
My name is Joaquin Lasarte.
Basque
sheep herder.
You lonely. You by yourself, 2,000 sheep and 2 dogs. 3 years. You stay there. No vacation, no day off, no holidays. You stay 24 hours close to the sheep.
We make $7 a day. They pay you only once a year.
You cook outside, mostly under the ground. You make fire. You have a Dutch oven. You can cook bread. 90% times it's lamb.
You say Basque to a Westerner and they think shepherd. In Basque country, very few people are shepherds. I'm Mark Kurlansky. I wrote a book called The Basque History of the World. Basques would go out in Western America and for the first time in their life have this huge flock of sheep over a huge expanse of land. Nobody has huge expanses of land in European Basque country.
In 1964,
came to United States. I have a horrible life in Spain in that time because Franco, you cannot go anywhere, you cannot say anything. Only way you can came to United States, working sheep herders. Hundreds of people like that in that time in the Franco power.
They would have a sponsor that would get them over here. They were told, go to Noriega Hotel in Bakersfield. My name is Linda Elizalde McCoy. The guys would come in off the train from Ellis Island, make their way to the West Coast. My grandmother would see to it that they were fed, and then their boss would pick them up.
I'm Bernadette Irigoyen, Noriega Hotel. I've been working here for 42 years. I have 3 brothers. They were shepherds. And then I came to cook. Just guys, no women. I make stew and flan, blow sausage, paella, family style. A lot of Bascos.
Basque sheep herders who were seasonally laid off would spend months in a Basque hotel. The hotels took the old world Basque cuisine, things that were festive food in the Basque country, and they made it standard fare. Beef, chicken dishes, coffee, By the time the herders got down to town, he had all the lamb he'd wanted to eat for a while. William Douglas, the Center for Bass Studies, University of Nevada, Reno.
You count your sheep and you give the water. The worst part, I think, it's in the alfalfa. Because if you not take care of them, the alfalfa, a lot of sheep blow.
What do you mean they blow?
They blow. They eat. They never stop the it on the gas. They blow it out. You can do huge damages.
It was very hard. 18-year-old kid who's been ripped up out of his community in Europe, and all of a sudden he's in a foreign land with a foreign language, and he's up on top of a mountain with a bunch of sheep. Amongst bass, there's a whole vocabulary of madness. The sheep herder who goes over the edge, who becomes sagebrushed or sheeped.
It's called the Irinsi. It's a kind of a war whoop. You know, these people didn't have cell phones, and they would call from one area to another to get someone's attention.
You are listening to the Bass Hour, KBOI in Boise, Idaho, every Sunday at this hour.
My name is Rosita Alegria Artis. My mother was Espy Alegria. She had a Basque radio program that went out to the sheep herders, the voice of the Basque. They listened in their sheep camps. They had little transistors. She wished them happy birthday, gave them the soccer scores in Basque. During the Franco years, he did suppress the language. The only place you could use it was at home in secret. She'd translate for them. If they had a problem with immigration, she did for them. They never paid her, but occasionally they would give her a lamb. We would throw it on the kitchen table and cut it up and freeze it.
The sheep herder, they organize barbecue and dance and everything. Big day for us.
I have a lot of pictures of Mom dancing at the Basque sheep herder's ball. The men wore Levi's and the women wore house dresses. An accordion, a tambourine, and somebody would play the spoons. They auctioned off a lamb. They had chorizos, Basque sausage. They have a sandwich, pork tenderloin and pimentos, hard crust bread.
I still have some memories, some good ones and some bad ones. Maybe I can sing with those two guys. Sheeper song.
The Hidden Kitchen series is produced by the Kitchen Sisters. For all the stories you heard on The Most Today, go to our website, npr.org/Bryant Park. Bertze bat mundua.